Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Good Morning Football. Hey, we're presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky, live in New York City. October is here, October 1. My name is Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt here, and Matt Kessel.
What's up, dude?
Ooh, what's up, everybody?
You, hey, my
number
man.
Two. I'm fired up to be here again. Obviously.
Hell of a Thursday night. Are you into it?
I was into it for sure.
Did you manage to sleep right? Like, I feel like you stayed up and watched every part of this game.
I mean, I watched a majority of it, but then I had a little television. You know, I've got the FUBU thing going on, and I was able to watch that the next morning. I mean, what an incredible game!
FUBU, oh, man.
FUBU, yes.
FUBU, very
good job. And that's exactly right. I needed that.
Huge show by us, Matt Kessel. We've got Jerome Bettis on the program. We've got Mike Tirico hanging out with us. Nate Burleson will stop by. We will go through the entire slate of Sunday action, but we start as always on a Friday morning after Thursday Night Football. KB,
let's do it. How do you like two number one overall picks just hucking it around in prime time? Trevor and Joe, 24-21, a walk-off kick, a great game, unsung, unlikely heroes, and star quarterbacks, 24-21. Bengals, 3-1. Joe Burrow with the Thursday Night Crew. Joe, shoot us straight now. Is this the team different from last year? Let us know.
You know, we're a completely different team from last year. We would have folded under the pressure tonight if this game was last year, and I'm just so proud of our guys.
Why do you believe last year you guys would have folded under pressure and this year you didn't?
Really, the culture in the locker room. Zach does a great job of preaching every day, having a connected team, and we brought in some great free agents that, you know, are really, really hard workers and from winning teams that have come in and really taught us how to win.
Big night for Cincinnati. Happy wearing my Joe Burrow sweatshirt. LFG, thank you for sending this to me. LFG Cincy. They get to 3-1. Shrags, I like that Burrow's talking about Zach Taylor. I asked you about him, the influence he's had over these past couple seasons and what he's done to turn around a team and now a fan base that is genuinely so excited about what's ahead. What did you take away from this big primetime comeback win?
Yeah, this team is resilient, and they have now had two different games that are down 14 points, and they end up being the victors in them. Down 21 points at the half, teams have lost 104 straight games. When you're down by 14 at the half, the last 65 games, it's been 4-61. We'll make it 5-61. Yeah. They found a way.
That's awesome.
They are living dangerously in these games, but they are winning these games.
3-1.
And Zach Taylor is putting the faith in both the offense and the defense to say, we can do it. And once they make those stops, the catalyst has been started. I'm excited about the Bengals. It's been forever since they've always had teams that were relevant. Mm-hmm. Now they're fun, mm-hmm. and they're playing strong. And in these 4th-and-1 situations, they are finding ways to not only turn the tides, but then to win these games. Mm-hmm. They're no longer your lovable losers. The Bengals are here.
So you're excited for them. Are you willing to say anything else? Are we just excited and we're watching it as it goes? Or do we look at them as AFC North, sort of? Like, are we if we're other teams in the AFC North, are we nervous about them?
Hell yeah, you are.
Yes.
I think so. The quarterback was moving. They look good, and they're 3-1 in a division where Steelers, we're not sure, and then Browns and Ravens. It's not an easy out anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I was always like, okay, we got the Bengals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll see it.
What do you think?
You know what? I think that the big turning point in this game was really coming out at halftime, right? When Joe Burrow came out, they're down 14-0. We always talk about shifting the momentum. At the end of that half, in the first half, right, they take the knee, and then they also try to do the quarterback sneak, but they come right out in the third quarter to start, and he hits Ja'Marr Chase down the sideline on a perfect throw, and that really changed the field position. Then he comes back two plays later on the boot, and hits Usman, and now he takes it in. Well, that gives that team confidence, right? It's now 14-7. Now you're putting the pressure back on Jacksonville. And it was incredible to watch Joe Burrow and this offense and how he was able to orchestrate this offense throughout the second half, right? They went down, they scored on every possession of the second half. Mm. Touchdown, 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 field goal. And that's what they needed, because in the first half, they were dormant, right? They had four first downs the entire first half.
They barely had the ball.
They barely had the ball. They had four first downs. They couldn't get anything going, and they're behind. So they needed that momentum shift right there, and Joe Burrow was able to step up with some big-time throws and a great possession for them.
Wasn't that throw to Chase just, like, exactly what they needed? You felt the tension come out of the stadium at the time. And, look, you hear, we're going to change the culture. We're going to change this. Sometimes it's more than a win that you need to do that. It's Friday. Let's bring in a Good Morning Football. We do a segment now every week where we pick one team we think is going to win. It's a survival segment. It's competitive. We want to do it. You can pick anybody. We were up there doing it yesterday, and this is the team of all the teams in the league that I picked. I'm going to go in prime time and take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh, tonight! Oh.
At home tonight. Okay. Against the winless Jaguars. I am going in. They did lose to the Bears a couple weeks ago. They're home, they're in prime time, showcase game, so I will go Bengals one more time, week four survival. So this is why I bring this up, because the Bengals get down 14-0, and everyone is coming out saying, you're an idiot, don't you know these are the Bengals, never count on the Bengals, never trust the Bengals. Don't you know about the Bengals in prime time? And I'm like, I think I do. I know they lost some primetime games. I don't know if you do know this. 9-24, and that's after a win. By the way, the second worst is Jacksonville. How many times have you seen an Andy Dalton team or any other Bengals quarterback go out in prime time when there's excitement in their home? And the air all goes out of the balloons. So when people were sending me gifts of Jeff Probst putting torches out and stuff like that, the Bengals saw them and said, screw you guys, this is not the same Bengals team. Sometimes you need something else other than wins to change it. A primetime win when everybody gave up on you was a massive, massive thing. Huge night for the Bengals.
Yeah. And now, of course, Logan Wilson did his thing. 10 tackles, one sack. He's got 3 interceptions. It's a breakout season for the young linebacker out of Wyoming, who I love, and it's all fine and dandy. But now this team, Matt, is sitting at 3-1, and they're not only first in the AFC North, they are second place in the AFC overall. I know they're probably not going to stay there. I'm not an actual idiot, but I want to ask you if you think that you could see them as a contender for the playoffs, in the playoffs.
I definitely think that this team, as long as they continue to progress and continue to get better with the leadership of Joe Burrow, the young talent that they have on the outside, the defense is playing better. I mean, this is definitely a team that could potentially be in the playoffs this year.
What do you need to see from them? Like, what should I be looking for? You're family in Cincinnati.
Right.
I've embraced this team. I really like them. I really like the fan base. They're genuinely excited. They're happy with what they're seeing, and I think they deserve it after so many years of being at the bottom. What do I need to be looking for these next couple weeks?
Well, I think for Joe Burrow, he's playing so well. And I said this to you earlier, right? I was like, this kid really continues to impress me.
Yeah, it's a great story for the country.
Right. He's an outstanding quarterback. He delivers the ball. He knows where his matchups are. He looks very good and comfortable in this Zach Taylor offense. And then not only that, but his ability to get outside the pocket and create plays when needed. But he's the guy that's going to be able to catapult this team forward and continue to push them to the next level. Because they're going to go as he goes, right? If he goes and shows up like he did in the second half last night and continues to utilize those weapons, they're going to continue to score points. And then it's just a matter of whether or not this defense can hold off these opponents long enough and keep them to a minimum.
Jacksonville's now lost 19 straight games going back to
last
year.
Yes, they have.
19 straight? 19 straight. It's amongst one of the worst streaks ever. This game last night, like, this is when losing teams find ways to lose. Mm-hmm. When you're up 14-0 at the half and a field goal makes it 17 points and you can go in there with a 3-score lead, you try to get cute, you go for it, you don't get it. Finding ways to lose is something that losing, this is what Trevor Lawrence has up against him, because Trevor Lawrence last night looked really good.
He made
some incredible throws, but this is what it is as a rookie quarterback going to the worst team in the league.
Let's talk about those Jags with Ian Rappaport, our NFL Network insider, joining this morning with some headlines. We've got highlights. We will set you guys up for a Sunday slate of action. But Jaguars wide receiver DJ Chark was carted off the field last night in the first half of this one. What is the latest with him? And then, hey, while we have you, how about you figure out a couple quarterback situations for me? Ravens, Bears specifically, go for it.
Well, we'll start with the unfortunate situation surrounding DJ Chark, one of the best players on the Jaguar, young up-and-coming receiver in a contract year. He is expected to be now out for the season. He suffered a fractured ankle last night. My understanding is surgery is the most likely option for Chark. That should happen sooner rather than later, and then out indefinitely. You're seeing he got rolled up right there, carted off. We knew immediately it was serious. Didn't quite know how serious until a little bit afterward. Devastating injury for DJ Chark there. Meanwhile, in some other news, since you mentioned the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson did not practice yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens. A little bit of a surprise, just dealing with what offensive coordinator Greg Roman called a flare-up of a back injury. This was described to me on Wednesday as general soreness. Nothing much to worry about, nothing alarming. I would expect Lamar Jackson back at practice today for the Baltimore Ravens, then to play on Sunday. No one I've talked to is alarmed at all, so this should be fine. Maybe just giving Lamar a little extra rest, considering how much work he does on Sundays. And then, of course, the intriguing quarterback situation. The Chicago Bears, they still have not yet named a starter, nor has any quarterback spoken to the media yet. That should happen today. I would expect some sort of announcement or decision from the Bears. Is it going to be Andy Dalton back at practice the last 2 days, still trying to come back from a bone bruise? Would be a little quick for him to come back, although still theoretically possible. The fact that he's practiced has been good. Is it Justin Fields still battling a hand injury? Or even third stringer and former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, all in the conversation for the Bears.
All in the mix, maybe gives them some sort of competitive advantage. They have to prepare for 2-3 quarterbacks on Sunday, but dicey. Thank you so much, Ian. Week 4 is officially kicked off. There's a great slate of games coming to us on Sunday. Well, here's what we're going to do. Break them down with something we call a Mad Minuto. 60 seconds on the clock. You three share those 60 seconds. About 20 seconds a pop here at Matt Castle. And let's start with an NFC North showdown. Lions going to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. What has you, Shregs, excited about this one?
How do these two teams respond to those two losses? Two of the worst losses as you could ever imagine.
Right.
The Lions lose in heartbreaking fashion on a 4th and 19, then a delay of game that wasn't called, then a 67-yard field goal. And the Bears have maybe the worst offensive game in Bears history, which is saying a lot considering Bears' offensive history.
Yeah.
This one might be 6-3. It might be 7-4. I don't know, two safeties. I just want to see what team responds. And Dan Campbell, I have a feeling, can get those guys to run through a wall.
Right. To me, it's who's going to be playing quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Is Justin Fields going to get another opportunity?
Uh-huh.
Or is it going to be Andy Dalton?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean,
Nick
they've
Foles,
got to figure it out pretty quick, right? And so I'm interested to see who's going to be out there and how they perform with the offense. And sputtering right now.
Troubling times in Chicago.
Troubling.
It's strange. It's scary. The game is in Soldier Field. If they come out and it is Fields and he gets sacked on the first play, like there's going to be torches being lit. There's this subtext going on where the Bears appear to be maybe making moves to leave Soldier Field, and the city is furious about it. Like, they may have to leave that stadium because the Bears fans are going to burn it to the ground.
Ooh,
it's morning football.
You don't lose the Lions, and Dan Campbell might win this game.
Of course, yeah.
We'll see. The Bears have won five of their last six against the Lions. All right, undefeated Panthers taking on the Cowboys. I like this game. Guys, what are we looking for in this one? Matt, kick it off.
You know what? I like this game. And the thing that I'm actually looking forward to watching in this game is how Sam Darnold does against a defense that has 8 takeaways on the season. They have the NFL lead. But not only that, Sam Darnold's done a tremendous job this season of taking care of the football. He's done great in the Joe Brady system.
So true.
So can he keep that going? And can this offense have the production? Because we know that their defense is pretty good.
Yeah. Are the Cowboys a great team? Like, are they a top 5 team? Are they a Super Bowl winning team? Or are they just really good? We know they're really good. This is one of those weeks where, like, I think the Cowboys might be able to win the Super Bowl this year. This is a prestige piece. Peter, it's like we still have a little buy-in that we're holding back. I know they're really good. They might be great after this.
Yeah, and the defense that everyone's talking about is the Panthers' defense right now, but I don't think they've faced an offense like the Cowboys. To your point, this is a really good Panthers' defense. They're first in the league in yards against. They're second in the league points against. And yet here come the Cowboys. I could see Dallas putting up 40 because that offense is so darn good. Cowboys might be onto something right now.
Ooh.
I love the Panthers. I love what they're doing. This one might be too big for them in this game.
Darnold not afraid of the Cowboys. Lots of success against the Cowboys. They've met once before, 2019. Darnold threw for 338 yards and 2 touchdowns, leading the Jets to a 24-22 victory over America's team. The Browns. They head up north to face up against the Vikings in Minnesota. Matt Castle is telling me in a commercial break, looking at the slate, this is going to be a great game between these two. Kyle, what are you looking for between the Browns and the Vikings?
A lot of things. The Vikings are the best bad record team in the NFC. If the Chiefs have that in the AFC, it's the Vikings. Again, a ridiculous missed field goal that was a chip shot that would have them at 2-1 instead of 1-2. Cousins is playing as good as any quarterback in the league. And no one's discussing the Browns destroying the Bears because it's all Justin Fields and who's Matt Nagy starting. So two teams that don't have a lot of shine on them right now, and whoever comes out of this is in good shape.
Stefanski worked 14 years for the Vikings, and he had 6 different titles in 6 different years working with Zimmer. He knows that defensive personnel inside and out. He knows exactly what they've got on their team. He knows all the secrets, and he's not going to be scared to come and bring his team to Minnesota. I like the Browns. I like the Browns big in this one.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you on that with the Browns big, because I don't know if the Minnesota Vikings defense can stop that two-headed monster of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and what they're able to do, the play-action setup.
Yeah.
And I know Stefanski is like, he was with me when I was there in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah?
He's a great coach, incredible, but he's a great play caller. And so, I mean, all in all, I think the Browns are going to go and get after
him. What makes Stefanski so great?
You know what? He's got He's very intuitive. He relates to players, and he's a great teacher as well. And he spent his time. He spent his time not only as a quarterback coach, tight ends coach. He was in the running back mm-hmm. room. He's even in the front office, like as an assistant for a little while. Mm-hmm. So he understands the entirety of an organization, and I think that's why he has such a good grip on what they're doing in with that organization, the Browns.
The Wild. The Browns have beaten the Vikings just once. Over the last 30 years, just once. Any guesses on who the quarterback was of the Browns in that one?
Kelly Holcomb.
Browns?
I'll give you a hint. 2013.
Oh. Charlie Fry.
Ooh, 2013.
Derek Anderson.
Brady Quinn.
Hoyer the Destroyer.
Oh. Good start to the season.
Game-winning touchdown to Jordan Cameron with just 51 seconds.
Jordan Cameron, USC
we
guy.
We got way off.
Our next guest is having a big game Jordan in Cameron. New England on Sunday. The host of NBC's Football Night in America, Mike Tirico.
Yes. Joining us.
After the break.
Let's class this place up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go change it soon.
For one of the most anticipated games in recent NFL history, let's welcome back one of our friends of the program for many years, one of our favorite guys, host of NBC's Football Night in America and friend of the show, Mr.
There
Mike Tirico.
What's up, Mike? Good to see you.
Hey, Shrakes, everybody, Matt, Kyle, Kay, good morning, guys. Good to be with you, Kay. What a great weekend. I'm in South Bend for a Notre Dame game on Saturday, a top 10 matchup with Cincinnati, and then get to go to Foxborough on Sunday. Life is way too good.
Life is good, and you have covered Bill and Brady for so long, and I know NBC already had the Adele Hello trailer last week. I have to imagine wall-to-wall coverage when they're bringing Mike Tirico to Foxborough. This is a big deal. What do we got from NBC this weekend?
Yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff in the hopper, looking back and looking ahead, and I think one of the bigger things is we're going to be on the air live from the stadium, me, Tony Dungy, Drew Brees, Rodney Harrison, Jack Collinsworth, so our pregame show, usually in the studio, usually highlight heavy, is going to be there to capture all of that and then some as the game goes right up to kickoff with Al, Chris, and Michelle just a little bit after 8:15. So we're going to have the show on the road so people can see that, because really, once the game starts, the nostalgia tends to wane. The buildup, the reaction, when he comes out there, we want to make sure everybody sees it. So it's rare that you get that for a week four game, but we're going to give it to the folks on Sunday night.
I love it. I don't get to go to games anymore, but I will be there for that one. So make a little couple seconds to say hi to me, Mike Tirico, out there. Yeah, we'll see you there. Let's talk about the football. Part of this matchup is, of course, you know, seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady against one of the greatest defensive minds of all time in Bill Belichick. We've been talking about it for 15 hours this week. Who has the advantage, in your opinion, in this 20-year relationship?
Well, what I love about this, Kay, is, look, both sides know each other so well. Like, who's got a better what bothers Brady list than Belichick? And who's got a better what does Belichick like to do list than Brady? So these two are also two of the strongest mental characters in the game, right? And they think about everything all the time. Who zigs and zags more than they have shown so far? I think that, as we're going through this, is fascinating to me. When you know somebody so well, sometimes you try to do what you don't love to do just so they don't get a beat on you. And I'll be fascinated to see how that plays out. Let's be honest. People-wise, Tom's got the better team. He's got the better people. But if you can mess up a quarterback, Matt's there. You know, you can mess up a quarterback a little bit. You can stay in a game. And I'm sure that's the plan for the Patriots. So who has the advantage? I don't think either one does, to be really honest, when you break it all down at the end of the day.
It's really well said, Mike. I think the NBC has the advantage. Let's talk about the cards that you guys are holding right now. So not only do you get the Brady return to Foxborough, you're going to get Brady breaking the all-time passing record, and you're going to get it as the gentleman he passes is standing right next to you, working with you, and Drew Brees. It's all coming together. Mike, we know Drew is as classy as they come, but he's as competitive as they come. How do you think he's going to feel when Brady inevitably passes his record?
I don't know if he's going to run back out on the field and see if he can throw a couple to the Patriots to keep his record ahead of Tom as he goes through. It's been interesting to watch Drew as he's gone through the Notre Dame games with me and football night with me and Tony and the gang during the year. I think he's at peace with the decision to walk away when he did. I think he felt like his football career had been disappointing at the end because they felt in the last couple of years New Orleans had a chance. Got the raw end of a couple of calls down the stretch of key games in the playoffs, lose to Brady and the Bucks at home last year, as we know, in the divisional. But I think Drew's accomplishments stand forever. And the fact that Tom is going to just pass this last one here is an inevitable type of thing. But it will be pretty. I don't think I've ever stood. Well, no, I can guarantee this. I've never been standing next to the guy when the all-time NFL passing record has been broken. So at some point in the first half, when that happens, I'm going to make sure that I'm standing next to Drew and I can go, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. What's your reaction? So and see that firsthand for sure. But there's so much respect there with those guys. We saw that. Remember that video at the end of the playoff game with Tom talking to Drew on the field at the Superdome? That's one of the coolest pieces of video with the kids and all that. There's such a respect there between the two of them, and I'm sure you hear a lot of that from Drew on Sunday night.
Yeah, Mike, we know that you're in South Bend right now for tomorrow's game, Notre Dame, Cincinnati. And, you know, you are one of the best play-by-play guys in the business. I always love listening to you. And this year with Drew Brees now in the booth as your game analyst and all that stuff, wanted to know, other than, you know, maybe recommending a new barber for him because that beautiful new I also wanted to know how you helped him transition, you know, into the broadcast booth and also, you know, in Football Night in America.
You've been drinking some of that Kyle Brandt coffee in the morning. You're bringing it, Castle.
How dare you?
I'm just, I'm
it's fighting Irish coffee. That's what they call it, Mike.
That's, you got it, Kyle. You're exactly right. Matt, you know what's cool is, and I got the great fortune of getting a doctorate in football sitting next to John Gruden for 7 years and learning so much stuff. And now it's watching film with Drew and watching him watch a game and pick up stuff. And, you know, for anybody who's out there calling games, you have so many options when the game's going on. And for Drew to sit up at the 50-yard line and watch a game, in addition to all the monitors we have, is something brand new. So it's been kind of fun to watch him not just do that, but also learn college football and the schemes and all that stuff. And to see him get really excited about what Notre Dame does on offense, what Cincinnati does on offense. It's one of the most enjoyable things for me to, you have this knowledge of calling games over the years, for 30-something years now for me. I can help Drew learn the TV part, but at the same time, you're getting the education in football from one of the best of all time. So you know, to sit next to two Hall of Famers on the set on Sunday nights with Tony and Drew Brees, that hour's fun. But the best of the 6 hours watching all the NFL games at once and hearing from two guys who've been there and done it, what's really going on behind the scenes, what leads to plays. And it just is one of the joys of this job to take people like you who lived it and for us to kind of sponge off of your legacy and knowledge to share the information with the fans.
It's well said, Mr. Tirico. You mentioned Gruden. Let's talk about you and Gruden. I think it was 7 years you spent together on Monday Night Football. Yeah. The Raiders, what a start for them, 3-0 this season. How much credit do you think Gruden should receive for the Raiders' best start in nearly two decades?
Oh, my man gets all of it, Kay. Come on. They played 14 quarters in 14 days, right? I mean, they played that fifth quarter twice here in the first couple of weeks of the season. Boy, John's got, you can see John's teams play with his spirit and his fight. He never gives up on a game ever. And you can hear it as you hear Carr talk now. Derek's starting to sound a lot like John, which just cracks me up because I know there are things I say. It's the end of a football game, and I'll go, fourth quarter pass rush, and I can hear John Gruden in my head because John would say that every game. You got to have a fourth quarter pass rush. Do you love football? Three knocks if you're with me. All the stuff you saw on Hard Knocks, that's real John. And I love seeing it. You know, we're neutral because you have to be because we cover all 32 teams. We're everyone's home announcer or home studio host every week. But I got to tell you, I really hope that they can keep this thing going. Vegas, the Raiders, Gruden, like there's a three parlay that works perfectly, right? And I'd love to see this thing continue on into the second half of the season.
Mike, real quick before we wrap, we had a great day with Brady. His last regular season game in Foxborough, you and I were part of the broadcast team that did it for NFL Network. Yeah. I was sent this picture this week of us and Kurt Warner and Brady. Tom was in a different place mentally that day 2 years ago, knowing what was up ahead. Yeah. Now that he's a Buccaneer, tell me, did you ever imagine that we would be talking about Tom Brady, the Super Bowl champion of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming back into Foxborough less than 2 years later?
Never shrinks. I mean, this has got to be the most anticipated game in NFL history. The all-time winning Super Bowl champion quarterback with the greatest head coach of all time in Belichick coming back there. That ovation when he comes out, whenever that is, before the game, when the game starts, it's going to be amazing. It's Larry Bird coming back with the Phoenix Suns, right? It's Ted Williams coming back with the Chicago White Sox. It's an all-time Boston Mount Rushmore coming back with some team you never thought he'd be back with. And that's awesome. Going to be a moment we'll remember forever. I can't wait. Can't wait for it.
Larry Bird in a Suns purple jersey. Yeah. It is a great
Exactly.
Hey, on behalf of all of us, we love when you join the show. It adds a little gravitas to our table, but we always appreciate your friendship with us. It means so much. Thanks, Mike.
I love you guys. Keep it up.
Time now for some Top 5 Friday. The remix. I'm going to give you my 5 favorite fantasy values for week 4. I will admit, I've been a little shaky this year. It's been up and down. I liked Kyle Pitts. He didn't do anything. Woof. I liked Daniel Jones last week. Did not work out. Let's get back on track, people, and let's start with a quarterback named Sam Darnold against the Cowboys. Little risky? Not really to me. He's a QB1 in fantasy this year. He's outscoring guys like Justin Herbert, like Dak. He's outscoring Aaron Rodgers so far. Do I think that, you know, keeps going? Probably not, but I do think he'll put up numbers, even with McCaffrey sidelined up against this Cowboys secondary. Game script will matter, and this is a defense that is still, despite being better, and we love Micah Parsons, Triggs, but they're top 5 most generous in terms of fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. It's just putting up points. They're going to put up points. You got to put up points back. Him to DJ Moore, it's got to happen. At running back, how about Zach Moss against the Texans? He's been on a tear lately. He's racked up 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. He's ranking as a top 10 running back over that span. Are we kidding? He's going to punch in at least 1 more. The touchdowns are, you know, they've got the Texans defense this week. I think that's absolutely going to happen. Much to the dismay of Stephon Diggs fantasy owners and Josh Allen fantasy owners who expect all those points from them, Kyle.
It's good for the Bills in real life, yes, that this guy's going, but it's not so great that they're so well-rounded. But they may score 40
points. What a turnaround, too. Didn't dress week 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now he's cool. One of the best
running backs. I like him in daily fantasy. You can still somehow get him in your shallow league. Go ahead and grab him. Yeah. At wide receiver, Robbie Anderson. How about him against the Cowboys? Going back to the well here. I like him as a stack with Darnold if you're playing daily fantasy this week. He's been really quiet lately, which has just really made him a bargain. He's $5,100 on DraftKings right now. I don't know where you play, but if you do there, please scoop him up. I think it's a breakout week. The Panthers are looking to find big plays without CMC on the field. Another wide receiver for you, Jacoby Myers against the Bucs. No one's allowed more fantasy points to the wide receiver spot than the Buccaneers. We know the secondary Shrake's banged up. Why not Jacoby Myers?
If ever there was a time, this is it.
Exactly.
Richard Sherman might be locked up. Hey, let's not expect Richard Sherman to come out and be lights out week 1. Maybe Jacoby Myers
is today. He might be, but they're going to have to get the ball to somebody. And really, Myers has emerged as Mac Jones's favorite target. He had 14 targets last week. You got to love that, Castle.
I mean, he's the most consistent of all the receivers. He's been in the system. Obviously, they've got Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne, but they're new to the system. Jacoby handles the slot. He can play inside, outside, and he, like I said, he's definitely had some tremendous growth over these first few seasons.
Jones is looking for him. He'll have plenty of opportunities to make some plays on Sunday night. Finally, a tight end, Tyler Conklin against the Browns. Irv Smith, we love Tim Schrags. Right. Irv Smith, where are you? But, you know, Conklin, though, he's been stepping it up for Minnesota. We know Kirk Cousins loves tight ends. We've talked about this a lot. And he went to Conklin 8 times last weekend. Tyler hauled in 7 of those for 70 yards and a touchdown. I think we could easily see him find the end zone again this week against the Browns. It should be a good game, Castle. You're all over. I know there's a lot of guys on the squad and a lot of mouths to feed, but Conklin could be a nice little sleeper.
It's a quarterback's best friend, especially when you have the 2 outside threats with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, right? They have to be the focal point of that offense when they're going downfield, but then all of a sudden you get a tight end involved. He'll get the one-on-one matchups with the linebackers. He'll get the one-on-one matchups with the safeties, which is a good factor and a good outlet for Kirk Cousins.
We've got 3 weeks of matchups, 3 weeks of data that sort of show us what matchups to exploit. That's why I like the Carolina Panthers even without Christian McCaffrey. I don't think they'll just fall apart. I trust Chuba Hubbard he's not going to be Christian McCaffrey. Nobody can, but he can do something to sort of keep this balanced and keep them going up against a Cowboys secondary that's top 5 most generous to the pass. And those matchups, what do you guys think?
I think that it's the Zach Moss game, because
you do?
If they're up early, you're not going to want to have to trot out Josh Allen and have him run all over the field. And they're the biggest favorites this week. I would assume they get a lead early, and then they just run him and just keep him going. So I think that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. The Bills are interesting because this is the game before the game. They play the Chiefs in 2 weeks. So I don't know if they do get up, if they play a conservative, which would help Zach Moss. I like seeing a Viking on there, whoever it is. Right now the Vikings are let Kirk cook. Like, he is the best player on the team because Dalvin got hurt. I any Viking with a horn on his helmet, I would put him in fantasy. Kirk's that good right
Tyler
now.
Tyler Conklin on the other side. Yeah. People, I told you last week on Sunday, Odell Beckham Jr. in his first game back, he got peppered with targets. He ended up having a decent game. I expect that to continue without Jarvis Landry on the field. At GMFB Friday, wouldn't be the same if we didn't welcome back our old friend to the breakfast table. I love when they put old friend in the teleprompter. Not an old friend. Hey, Tiffany Blackman. There's an old friend of NFL Network right there. We will welcome in Nate from CBS after this.
What was going on there? I don't remember.
All sorts of protocols.
Yeah. But what, he was a nerd?
That was pre-COVID.
That was pre-COVID.
He had taped glasses. I don't remember the segment.
He did literally.
It's time for today's wake-up call presented by Verizon. And we're going to bring in a friend of ours here, a friend who got a shout-out from Troy Aikman on the broadcast last night, who is married to his college sweetheart and who is afraid of octopi. It's Nate Burleson from CBS Mornings. What's up, bud? I know you're also excited for Bucks Patriots, and we've dissected every part of this dude here at the table. One of the parts that I've brought up, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, is the idea of Belichick and Brady after this game. What is the handshake? Is it an embrace? Nate, we're going to break this thing down. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah. I see it as love. I see it as two individuals that were once in a relationship and they split ways. And once they see each other again, it's going to be nothing but respect. And I feel like it's going to be the same thing for him returning to Foxborough. I don't know if you guys saw Julian Edelman this past week. He posted some images of him being back there and they gave him a ruckus standing ovation. And then I feel like they're going to do the same thing. So if in that moment where the crowd is chanting and screaming because Brady's back, even some of his former teammates and guys that just respect him, you don't think Bill Belichick is going to reciprocate that same type of energy? So I don't feel like it's going to be cold. I don't feel like there will be a cold handshake or a cold shoulder. I'm looking forward to it. It's like a family reunion and we're all witness to it. Front row seats.
I love this energy. It is all love, as always. Nate, good to see you. Happy Friday. As you know, your friend, Golden Tate, was here earlier this week. I want you to listen to what he said about Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford.
If you take Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers and you switch their situations, I think Matthew Stafford is equally, if not more, successful than Aaron Rodgers, personally.
If you're saying if Rodgers was in Detroit, he would have had no more success than Stafford did.
It would have been tough on him. It would have been tough on him.
He got a little bit, Nate. Do you agree with Golden, or did he oversimplify things a little bit?
I agree. 100%. Producers, go ahead and get ready to clip this off. If Matt Stafford was in Green Bay, if he was in New England, if he was in New Orleans, he'd be a Super Bowl champion, maybe twice over. He'd also be looked at as one of the best quarterbacks of his era. Not just one of those guys that can throw the ball downfield and is going to have major numbers when he's done playing football, but I truly do believe you're a product of your environment. And this isn't me taking a shot at Detroit. I'm being completely honest in this moment. You know, there have been times where Matt Stafford has been at the top of his game, handcuffed to Calvin Johnson, and everybody's curious why they can't have more success. You know, when you have coaching turnover, when you have offensive coordinator turnover, and when you have inconsistency on offensive line play and running backs, it makes it difficult. So I agree with Golden Tate 100% and even add a little bit more to it, saying that he would be looked at as one of the greats of his era if he was elsewhere.
We've seen Aaron Rodgers' new hair. It's long. It's kind of gross. He revealed this week that he's growing it out this way for a Halloween costume. We've been taking guesses all week. What's the Rodgers Halloween costume? Long hair, what is your guess?
All right, so I was thinking of movie characters. I was like, nah, it's too easy. Aaron Rodgers is growing out his hair for a Halloween costume, and you know when he does things, he's always sending a message. So I gave this some thought. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I think he's going as Jesus. Halloween. Oh, yeah. I think he's going full religious. Listen, because Aaron Rodgers has been praised. He's been praised. If you listen to Kyle Brandt and everybody else who talks about him, he's the greatest thing to quarterbacks since the quarterback position was invented. Yeah, he's good, and he kicked my butt when I played. I'm not taking a shot at Aaron. Aaron, you know I love you. But I think he's sending a message, though. By the way that people described his play, I mean, he's fast. He can throw the ball a mile, and he walks on water in Green Bay. And he might not be able to turn water into wine, but he could turn a fan into a cheesehead. So I think he's going as Jesus on Halloween.
We are hyping up this Halloween costume. I mean, it better be epic. Epic costume, because we've talked about it every day on this program. Jesus would probably do that. Thank you so much, Nate. We got to talk to you about something that I saw that was,
nailed it, Nate, so to speak.
We'll talk to you in a bit, I guess, Nate. I think we're done with you.
Nate,
enjoy your weekend. We love you.
Have a drink tonight, Nate.
Love you.
Yeah, have a cocktail.
I will. Nate.
Blowing kisses.
We're going to wrap up the show here on Friday, and then you watch this show tomorrow. How fun is this? This is Good Morning Football weekend. They're going to hit big time on the Buccaneers. Patriots game, all the games this weekend, and then Adam Rank is going to do a signature fantasy series from Boston. There might be an accent involved. That show is so fun, so well done. That's all they do for 3 hours, and they talk football. Wake Up with the Weekend Crew. It's tomorrow. It's 9 a.m. Eastern, and it's right here on NFL Network. Matt Cassel, you've been excellent this last couple days. It's been so fun to have you. Are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time. Thank you so much. Warm reception. Enjoyed it. You guys are pure entertainment.
Can we give a shout-out to your five kids, Lauren, everybody?
Oh, yeah. Lauren, my beautiful wife.
Hi, Lauren.
My five kids. Love you guys so much. Yeah, thanks for letting me come.
We'd like to end the week with one more dollop of ridiculousness, but actually this segment's pretty serious. So it's week four of the NFL season. We got game picks for you right now. It is time, Matt Cassel, for our GMFB certified 100% grade A grass-fed top choice pigskin picks of the week. Ooh. We each go around La Mesita and we pick one game that we will stake our reputation on a national television. This is definitely a win. Peace, Shregs, show us how it's done.
Imagine working in one place for 14 years and working all the way up that org chart, starting off in one spot and doing every different role and working, and then you finally get a job opportunity for another company. But then you get to go back into the building where you worked for 14 years and show what you've become. Kevin Stefanski is not losing this game.
All right.
I'm going with the Browns as my...
Light them up.
GMFB certified. 100% grade A grass-fed top choice pigskin picks of the week.
All right, Matt.
All right, I'm up.
Good luck following that.
That was great. All right, I've got the Bills at home against the Houston Texans. Let's be honest. The Bills have outscored opponents 78-21 over the last 2 weeks.
Way to go out on a limb here. I thought you were going to the Tampa Bay Patriots.
Oh, no way. I mean, they have won 8 out of the last 9 games. I mean, this team's rolling. Their defense is good. They've got the weapons. Josh Allen looks like the guy that we saw last year.
Get to the pick, Matt.
So, with that being said, the pick of my going well. That's why I'm going with the Bills as my.
Light them up.
Well done, Matt.
Can I have that sound effect again?
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that was the middle of like wrangling up something or more like a pig.
Something's being slaughtered. It really makes me, I think it makes Schrager and I quite uncomfortable. So we just try to not focus on the sound effect of it all. All right, I've got my eyes on the Cardinals. They are visiting the Rams. The Cardinals, the Kyler, Cliff, they can't beat the Rams. They're 0-8 against the Rams. They can't get a win. I don't care. I think that Kyler Murray is an electric play. This is how you do the segment. We're not Bills over Texans over there. I'm going to go with the Cardinals on the back of and the arm and the legs of Kyler Murray to Rondale Moore out there for some big explosive electric play as my
GMFB certified 100% grade A grass fed top choice pigskin picks of the week.
For some reason, I get afraid that your hair's going to light on fire. Yeah, there's so much fire and so much hair. It's like, it makes me nervous.
You're worried about that. Cher is worried about the PT bill that I'm going to send her at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, orthopedic work.
Take us home.
Big game this weekend.
Take us home, Big Daddy.
Big game
Let's
this weekend on the lakefront in Chicago, Illinois. As the football gods smile or stare or spit, whatever they're doing up there in the Chicago Bears, we don't know who the hell the quarterback is going to be as of this live broadcast right now. I actually have this weird feeling that it's going to be Nick Foles. I really do. Justin Fields was out there with a brace on his throwing hand. That makes me nervous. And yet, Matt Nagy, love him, hate him otherwise, he owns the Detroit Lions. Go have a day, Matt Nagy. I think the Bears will find some way to win this game. And incredibly, after they had negative 5,000 yards offense went last week, I'm going with the Chicago Bears as my
light me up.
Chicago Bears, try not to get Justin Fields killed. The Bears!
This is our show. Big thanks to Matt Cassel. This is the father of five who's been
sitting here, Matt,
for the past couple of days. Thank you. Good luck to Tom Brady up there in Foxborough. We have got you covered. Good Morning Football Weekend tomorrow. We got highlights for you on Monday. Bye!
Life's a beach, so enjoy the way. Walk your sun rock, but be careful of the heat.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.